Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. All right, John chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. Follow along, please, as we read these words from the book that we love. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A person who walks by day will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when they walk by night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back, calling her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went out to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Amen. Whew, right? That's a long passage. That's a lot of reading. That's a lot of words. But it is a passage that is such a straightforward story. We can follow along from one point to the next, right? At the very beginning, Jesus gets word that his beloved friend Lazarus is ill. And yet Jesus waits another couple of days before responding. And then when he says, hey, disciples, let's go back to Judea, the disciples are like, hold up, Jesus, it didn't go so good last time you were there. But then Jesus, when he makes up his mind, he's going to go, and so he goes, and they're going to follow along, and he does go, and he gets just outside of Bethany, and then there's this fantastic interchange, one of the most powerful, really, moments in all of John's gospel, this dialogue between Jesus and Martha, where Jesus drops this incredibly important I am statement. I am the resurrection and the life. And then Martha has this beautiful profession of faith. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then we see Mary come out, and there you see Jesus' emotion. He's deeply moved. And then you get that one verse that is the shortest verse in all of Scripture, right? You tell me you can't memorize Scripture. Yes, you can. John 11:35. Jesus wept. You've got it. And then Jesus goes to the tomb. And they're worried about odor. Jesus said, don't worry. And he says, roll away the stone. And he prays to God. And then he prays to the Father. And then the miracle finally happens where this dead man starts to walk again. And there's so much going on in this Scripture passage. I mean, there has been 1,001 different sermons that we could pull from there. And as I said earlier, you know, we're going to talk about some stuff today, but there's going to be something that maybe each one of us took away from this passage that we won't even talk about. There's so much good stuff. But in keeping with our sermon series that we started this year with, we today are just going to focus just on 3 of the 867 words in that passage. Can you guess which ones they are? Lazarus, come out. I love that Jesus calls Lazarus by name. Humor me just for a moment, because this is sometimes, when I read Scripture, this is how my mind works just a little bit. I'm really glad that Jesus calls Lazarus by name. You know why? Because we have to be reminded that tombs in the ancient world contained multiple bodies of the deceased. And this is how my mind works. It's a good thing that Jesus calls Lazarus by name, because you don't know who's going to get up and come walking out of there, right? I'm glad you find that funny, because I think that's funny. I like that. That's kind of how my mind works. But I do love that Jesus calls Lazarus by name, because we do know that Jesus loves Lazarus. We're told throughout the passage that he loves Lazarus. From verse 3, the sisters send word, Lord, the one you love is sick. Verse 5, Gospel writer John says Jesus loved Martha, he loved Mary, he loved Lazarus. And then all the way in verse 36, after Jesus breaks down and he's weeping, the Jews who have come from Jerusalem to comfort Martha and Mary, they now observe Jesus in his grief. And the Jews themselves, verse 36, they see how he loved him. Jesus loves Lazarus. And driven by that love, Jesus, after waiting, after traveling, after talking with Martha, after being deeply moved, after coming to the entrance of the tomb, after commanding that the stone be rolled away, after a brief word of prayer with the Father, after all of that, Jesus calls out in a loud voice, he says, Lazarus, come out! Lazarus, come out! Here's the fascinating thing that, unfortunately, we can't see in the English. Here's the thing. The Greek word here for come, get this, it is a different Greek word than all the other times Jesus says the word come in the passages we've studied and in the passages we will study. It's the Greek word diuro, We'll put this on the screen, diuro. And it means, come here. More than that, it means, until now, come here. And what that means is this, that up until this moment, whatever is true about the way that things are, and whatever is true about the where we are, and whatever is true about what has happened, that all may be. You have been, you were, you are here, that this has been, and this is your reality up until now, up until this moment, but now, now, diuro, come here. Of all things, this reminds me of being on the farm and being a little kid. On our farm, we had dogs. We had purebred border collies, beautiful dogs, good dogs to have on the farm, smart dogs. And when we were little kids, we had this dog named Willie. And it did not matter what Willie was up to. You know, it didn't matter if we were going outside to play. It didn't matter if we had chores. It didn't matter what we were doing. But anytime we came out, it did not matter where Willie was. It didn't matter if he was sleeping in the barn. It didn't matter if he was chasing for mice. It didn't matter if he was roaming around in the grove. All we had to do was step outside and say, "Here, Willie!" Yeah, exactly. And Willie would come racing around the machine shed or shooting out of the barn, and he'd come towards us full tilt. See, it did not matter where he was or what he was doing, but when we said, "Come," Willie came. That's diuro. Until now, come here. And this is the word that Jesus uses when he says, "Lazarus, come out." And that's significant, friends. See, for the last 4 days, Lazarus has been dead in the tomb. Lazarus, until now, this has been your reality. Until this moment, this is what's true. But Jesus wants this dead man to move from there to here. He wants him to leave what is and to move into what will be. Jesus wants Lazarus to move from death to life. And I believe that Jesus wants the same for you and for me. For some of us here today, Jesus is declaring those same words to us. He's saying, "Friend, come here. Diuro. Up until now, you've been here, but I want you here. Come here." Maybe for some of us, it's the reality for us is this. The reality up until now is that we've been caught up in that addiction, right? Whatever it is, whether it's alcohol or drugs or food or exercise or pornography or whatever it is that is consuming us. And until now, that has been our reality. And Jesus is saying, "You know, I don't want you there anymore. Until now, yes, that has been true, but I want you here. And so, friend, come here." Maybe for some of us, our lips speak poorly about another. We speak poorly about our classmates or about our coworkers or about our neighbors or even our brothers and sisters in Christ. That old gossip train and that put-down train or that bashing train that moves full speed ahead. And this is currently true about how we speak about one another until now. And Jesus is saying, "I don't want that to be the way in which we talk about one another." And so until now, until this moment, Jesus is saying, "Friend, come here." Or maybe for some of us, it's material wealth or the accumulation of possessions that has this unhealthy infatuation with us. That we're consumed by this need for more, or we just call it greed. And then Jesus is saying, "Until now, I don't want that to be the goal, the heartbeat of your life any longer." So Jesus is saying, "Friend, come here." Or maybe for us, anger or intimidation is the way that we characterize our relationships with those that we're supposed to cherish most, that we intimidate and we're angry. And Jesus is saying, "No, that's not how I want you to live." He's saying, "Until now, that has been reality." But he's saying to you today, "Friend, come here." Or maybe a little white lies is how we operate. You know, 100% accuracy on the truth hasn't always been our goal. And so we get by and we've communicated so long by just saying what has to be said until now. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, friend, no longer come here. Or maybe for some of us, the self-talk that we say to ourselves is one of put-downs and critical spirits, right? We have this inner critic within us that sees that body in the mirror and says, that's not how you should look. Or you know, says, you know, that bad thing that's going on, you deserve that because you've made those mistakes. And we've got this inner critic that just puts us down over and over and over again. And Jesus is saying to us this morning, no, that's true until now, but now I want you to come here. Or pick any other reality, or even better, pick your own reality. What has been true of our own lives that Jesus might be saying to us today? Yeah, that might have been true, or maybe that even is true in this moment, but no longer do I want you to dwell in that place. No longer do I want that to be your reality. I want something better for you. I have something better for you. And so hear my words. Maybe Jesus is saying to each one of us in some spot in our lives today, friend, come here. Could Jesus be saying that to you today? But we look at this passage, there's actually more than that. Here's the reality in this passage. Lazarus is dead. He's 4 days dead. He's sealed in a tomb, dead. That's where he was until now. Until Jesus said, Lazarus, no longer do I want you to have that reality. No longer do I want you in that space. I want you to no longer be there because I want you to move from there to here. I want you to move from death to life. And so Jesus comes and says, Lazarus, come out. And friends, I believe that Jesus wants the same for you and me today. Because you too are Jesus' beloved. Jesus loved Lazarus and Jesus loves you. And he wants you as well to move from death to life. Now the big difference is this, we're still breathing. We're still breathing. Lazarus was dead in a tomb, and here we are. But friends, make no mistake about it that the reality of our condition without Christ is that we're dead. Ephesians 2 says that as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins. That because of sin, we are dead. That we are dead because of our wrongdoings. That until now, this is your reality. Until now, we've been living in the realities and in the ways of this world. Until now, we've been following the ruler of the kingdom of the air, it says. That until now, we've been following that old sinful nature. Until now. But Jesus is saying to us today, he's saying, come. He's saying, Duro. Jesus is calling us out by name as well. He's saying, Christine. Right? He's saying, Linda. He's saying, Denny, Barry. He's saying, come here. Come here. Move from there to here. Move from sin and pain to forgiveness and peace. Come here and move from death to life. Friends, this is the great gift of Jesus. This is the gift that he offers to Lazarus, and this is the gift that he offers to us. He's saying, leave behind what is and receive what will be. Leave behind death and receive new life. This is the great gift of Jesus in this passage when he uses the word come. And it takes 43 verses to get there. Until this climactic moment. And yet, what a moment it is where he calls out to Lazarus. And he says, come out. Come here. And he's calling out to us and saying, leave what was, receive new life. And yet, even after 43 verses, there's still more here. There's still more in this passage. There's still more when it comes to what Jesus says when he says, come. And I think what we see here in the rest of this passage, this is going to be easier for me to show this to you than it is to explain it to you. So I want to thank Hannah, my daughter, for volunteering to help me out this morning. Come on up here, Hannah. Come on. I didn't tell her this was going to happen, so I am in trouble. However, I will make it up to her. And I'm going to have you stand right over here for me. Hannah, I'm going to promise you, you're not going to have to say anything. You just have to stand there and look pretty, and you do that so well because she's beautiful. She is beautiful, right? So I need you just to stand there for me, okay? Actually, I do need you to do just one thing for me, and that is, first, just stand there nice and straight. Now, let's have you move up just a little bit so they can all see you there. And then you just stick out your left hand here, okay? This is what I need. I need someone I am familiar with here and comfortable with here and who's comfortable with me, because I need to do something here, Hannah. All right, here we go. Where's the end? Here it is. Okay. Okay, Hannah, I'm going to put this next to your, right here. Then I want you to clamp down. Very good. Now just stay right there. Ooh, this is really long. Okay, here we go. All right. I am going to get dizzy. Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right. Stay right there. Stay right there. You doing okay? Yeah, okay. Very good. All right. There's a lot to this, okay? Woo! Look at me. Oh, shocking. Oh, did you hear that? All right. Let's get your... There you go. I heard that shock, too. Did you hear that one? All right. I was going to tape it, but I think, well, you're good, right? Oh, there. Do this. Packaging tape. Here we go. We got to make, you'll see why this is going to be important. Here we go. Okay, here we go. All right. Look at that. Just, oh my goodness. Dad ruined this. There we go. Okay. Whew. All right. You're good? Just stand right there. You're doing great. Okay, very good. All right. Jesus said, he called out to Lazarus, Lazarus, come out. Come here. And Lazarus comes out. But look at what it says. Look at your Bible. Look what it says in verse 44. The dead man came out. His hands and feet were wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. I won't do that. No. We won't see your pretty face. I'm kidding. All right? We won't do that. You just look. You stay there and look pretty. You're doing great. Very good. See, yes, Lazarus rose from the dead, and yes, he moved from there to here. Do you see what this is? Still carrying around the grave clothes. He's still carrying around the pieces of what was. And this is what I want you to see this morning. When we look at verse 44 there, and it says that his hands and feet were still bound by strips of linen. What I want you to see here with Hannah here is imagine, Hannah, imagine that you're Lazarus, all right? And imagine that Jesus has just called you out of the tomb, and you've moved, now you've gone from death, and you've received this new life. And now with this new life, Jesus wants you to do great things. He wants you to go and share what you've done. And he wants you to live a life. He's got plans for you because he wants the glory of God to be magnified. If you look at this passage, how many times it talks about the glory of God, right? That's a huge theme of this passage. And Jesus wants Lazarus to go, and he wants him to go and proclaim and to tell what has happened and live this new life and live it to the fullest because so that people can believe in who Jesus is. And if you look at this passage, how many times does it talk about believing, right? That's a huge theme of this passage. And so Jesus is saying, Lazarus, I got great plans for you. Lazarus, I want you to do great things in this new life I've given to you. So Lazarus, I want you to go and proclaim, go and serve, go and do, go. Oh, you better stop. I don't want you to fall. What's going on? She did not walk nearly as well as when she walked up here on the stage. Can't really move, right? Can you even move your arm? No, you can't even move your arms, right? Do you see what's happening here? See, Lazarus, yes, answered the call of Jesus. He came out. But he was still carrying with him the baggage, and he was still carrying with him the junk of what once was. He's still wrapped in strips of linen. See, friends, when we can hear the call of Jesus to come, and he calls us to come, and yet sometimes when we come, we are still carrying with us the baggage, and we're still carrying with us the junk. We're still carrying with us the reminders of what once was. And what that does is that prohibits us from fully embracing and receiving and effectively living into the new life that Jesus offers. And that's why Jesus gives these instructions, the very last words. We've got to go all the way through the passage to get to the very last words that Jesus offers here. And Jesus says, take off those grave clothes and let them go. He's saying, remove and leave behind the junk of the old. He's saying, remove and leave behind the reminders of the past. Remove and leave behind the baggage of what once was that's gone, that's behind, that is no more. And Jesus says, come here. And he says, when you come to him, no longer are these things your reality. No longer, get that off. You know, no longer are these things the things that define you. No longer is this your identity. We got a long ways to go here. This is really big. Right? No longer is this what's going to define you at all. This is no longer the things that are going to be a part of your life. No longer are these things that are going to be a part of what you're about anymore. Right? We take off the grave clothes. And now we can go, right? Take off the grave clothes and now go. You can go. Thank you so much for helping me out. See, I wonder today, or I really do believe today, that there are some of us here that need to hear Jesus' words when he says, by name, he says, friend, come here. That until now, your life has been lived in a certain kind of way with a certain set of priorities and a certain set of agendas, and you've been hindered by a certain set of vices. And some of us today, we need to hear Jesus say to us, until now, until that moment, no longer, come here. Come here. Come here and no longer be consumed by those vices. Turn them into virtues. No longer let your life be about the priorities that you have, but turn them into your passions. No longer be held back by the agendas that we have, but now focus on adoration. Right? Come here, Jesus is saying to some of us, and move from the old, move from the death, and move to life. And I wonder, friends, that some of us, maybe we've heard that, and we have responded, and we have moved from there to here. But maybe for some of us, like what we just saw, those grave clothes are still lingering on. We still carry the junk with us of what once was. The baggage is still holding over us, and we're wrapped up tight, and it takes a long time to, we can't let go, and we won't let go. We haven't been able to let go. And if that's true of us, friends, we're still holding on to those things, then listen to those last words of Jesus. Where he says, take it off. See, we have permission to let go of what once was, of the things that we still carry. Never forget, friends, that those grave clothes, that was once a reality, those realities of what once was, they no longer define who we are today. Lazarus is no longer a dead man. He has no need for grave clothes any longer. And friends, when we come to Jesus, when we are in Christ, when we respond to him and we move from there to here, from death to life, our identity is no longer found in the things that were once a part of us. When we are in Christ, our identity is now in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who left his own grave clothes lying in the tomb. And friends, I pray that we hear this morning whatever it is that Jesus is saying to us. Maybe to take that step and to leave behind a reality of today and to come here. Or maybe Jesus is saying, it's okay, friend, to let that old go. That no longer defines who you are. I pray that we hear whatever Jesus is saying to us when he does say to us today to come. And I love this morning that we can hear Jesus saying, come here. I love that we can hear Jesus saying, come and leave behind those grave clothes. And I also love that we have an invitation from Jesus this morning to come here, to come to the table. That Jesus is inviting us, those he loves, and he's inviting us by name to come here and receive the grace of God in abundance. To come here and remember what Jesus has done for us and who he is for us. I love that Jesus is inviting each of us to come here to the table this morning to proclaim again the hope that we have in him. Friends, today Jesus is inviting us that no matter where we're at in this moment until now, he's inviting you and me by name because he loves us. He's inviting us to come and receive the gifts of God, the grace of God for you and me, the people of God. So won't you come? Come here. Come to the table. Let's pray together. God, we worship you, we celebrate you, we glorify you, we praise you this day for who you are and what you have done
first and foremost for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Word who has made flesh for us and for our salvation. He is the one who has reconciled us, made us right with you. He is the one who comes to us and invites us to come to Him. And for this gift of a mighty Savior who has made us right with you, we worship and adore and glorify your name, O Holy God. And we remember now, as we come to the table at the invitation of Jesus, we remember the perfect sacrifice that was offered once on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world, including our own. And how we can move from there to here and then leave that behind because it has been paid for in full. We thank you for the gift of Jesus who died on the cross. But God, we also celebrate and we remember in this supper that Jesus is not any dead any longer. He's not wearing any grave clothes. He's not wrapped up in any strips of linen, but He is alive. And He has risen from the dead, and with Him He has overcome sin and death and guilt and shame and all the things that we so often hang on to. He's overcome all of that. We are thankful for that. We celebrate that in this meal. And God, we also in this meal, we celebrate the promise of Jesus coming again. When all things then will be restored and all things will be made new and all things will be as they were always meant to be. God, we long and look forward to that day. And as we eat this meal, we proclaim our hope in that. But in this moment now, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fall upon us, that you would fill us, that as we eat this bread and as we drink this cup, it would be to us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we eat and as we celebrate this meal together, that we would be filled up by, God, your love and your mercy and your grace, and your peace would fill us so that we can find our rest in you. We pray, Holy Spirit, lead us now and guide us. Allow this to be a meal of joy and of celebration, for we are coming at the invitation of Jesus who invites us each by name. Come, come here. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.